from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Even as American universities and firms churn out one impressive scientific development after another, many of their researchers doing that work don't come from American K-12 schools. Educators and scientists across the nation have been grappling with how to boost homegrown student engagement in science, and they've come up with a new set of standards the State Board of Education is expected to adopt later today. The California Report's education reporter Anna Tantakalos has the story.
It's been 15 years since California adopted a new set of science standards for students from kindergarten through high school. Since then, scientists have mapped out the human genome, revealed the impact of climate change, and landed a rover on Mars. But some kids say their science classes are stuck in the past.
Well, I feel like we learn mostly out of textbooks. And so it's not as interesting to any of us.
That's Karina Thompson. She'll be a high school freshman in San Francisco this fall.
The information just goes by us. But like if we do a lab or if we do some like hands-on activity, we take a lot more out of it and we all enjoy it more.
Thompson was one of scores of kids, teens, and adults at the San Francisco Exploratorium this week. The cutting-edge science museum is part playhouse and part learning lab, with more than 600 mostly hands-on exhibits. In this one, several kids are testing gravity by building a set of pathways for dropping marbles.
Why do they help?
They bounce off.
California's public schools could get a lot more hands-on as well under a new set of academic requirements called Next Generation Science Standards.
One of the really exciting aspects of Next Generation Standards is potentially we could see a renaissance in science education.
Douglas Spalding teaches physics and chemistry at East Bay Art School in San Lorenzo, about 25 miles east of San Francisco. He and a dozen other science teachers are spending part of their summer at the Exploratorium's Teachers Institute. One of their goals is to experiment with the new standards. The teachers say for years, the federal education law, known as No Child Left Behind, has emphasized reading and math proficiency, prompting many schools to drop science instruction and lab work altogether.
We've seen lab work disappear from our classrooms, and it's almost like we're being given permission to do lab work. The science courses of old were sort of like learn the history of science, and now we're saying do the work of science.
Under the new requirements, teachers and students would cover less material. Instead, they'd go in-depth on topics such as climate change, biological evolution, and engineering design. Students, in turn, would plan and carry out investigations, conduct experiments, and build models. Tammy Cook Indris is a teacher and coordinator at the Exploratorium's Teachers Institute. She says the new standards would mean more work for educators, but the lessons would be more engaging for students.
This is really hard to do. These are ambitious. They're ambitious, you know, and we're going to need to support teachers. And I don't know what that's going to look like yet. And I think that that's why we're starting to have these conversations.
California is not alone. 25 other states are also making the switch. National test scores show students across the country are performing poorly in science and math. That's bad news for California, considering a large part of the state's economy is based on science, technology, and engineering. For their part, the teachers training here at the Exploratorium say they're eager to get a firm grasp of the new standards so they can mentor their fellow educators. One way they're doing that is by taking on the kind of activities their students would do in the classroom. Here, two teachers are mixing salt and baking soda with water in a plastic baggie to show how a chemical reaction involving two solid materials can produce a gas.
Zipped, tip over the container so that the substances all combine.
Oh, it's making noises!
It's making foam.
The teachers busily begin filling out a report documenting the process. The result is a kind of mini research paper, which students will have to produce with almost every activity they do. Ariel Owens teaches earth and life sciences in the Bay Area community of Walnut Creek. She says students will have to think more critically, but they learn best when they see something, feel it, and hear it.
They don't want to go into engineering. It's too hard. It's too whatever. And I think the engineering standards demonstrate it's not only not too hard, it's fascinating. It's the best part of science. It's where I can put something together, see if it works. If it doesn't, I can redo it and then see if it works. I mean, that's the heart of it.
But not everyone is as enthusiastic. Some education policy experts say the new standards omit important core science content. And there's questions about how much more districts will have to spend to implement the new standards, how many teachers will embrace the change, and what the curriculum and tests will ultimately look like. But teachers across California say this is one experiment they're willing to take on. If, as expected, the State Board of Education approves the next generation science standards at their meeting today, they would take effect in 2015. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tentakulis.
The State Auditor's Office has confirmed widespread problems at the agency that polices live-in centers for Californians with severe developmental disabilities. Elaine Corey has more.
The audit was requested by lawmakers following allegations of sexual molestation and physical assaults that had gone unpunished by the Office of Protective Services. OPS is the in-house oversight agency of the State Department of Developmental Services, which cares for about 1,700 people with cerebral palsy, mental retardation, and severe autism. In a telephone conference call, disability rights advocate Greg DeGeer said the audit vindicates years of media investigations and family complaints.
This audit is a scathing, devastating indictment of the state's mismanagement of the development of center residents' safety. Both the Department of Developmental Services and the Department of Public Health have failed to do their jobs and still are failing to do them adequately.
The auditors cited poor quality investigations, outdated reporting policies, and high staff turnover, which had put resident safety at risk. The audit focused on 48 incidents of alleged abuse and found failures of oversight in every case. The Office of Protective Services blamed understaffing and excessive overtime for the lapses documented by the auditor. It accepted all the recommendations for faster, more thorough reporting of safety incidents in the future. For the California Report, I'm Elaine Corey.
You can hear our conversation with the author of one of the media investigations that sparked the audit. Look for the link at our website, californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Wednesday, July 10th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Myro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Follis Family Fund for coverage of climate change. The California Teachers Association. Celebrating 150 years of advocating for all students, educators, and California's public schools and colleges. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as preventing network intrusions and data theft by hackers. Barracuda.com.